Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
From 8 to 4 to 2, we have whittled down the field at the World Cup of Hockey to Team Europe and Team Canada. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon, a preview of this championship series, as well as we'll dip our toe into NHL training camps and bring you some news regarding the Boston Bruins and Brad Marchand, who signs a new long-term deal. Darren Millard here in the Hockey Central studio. Thanks for joining us, everybody, along with John Shannon and Gord Stellick.
That was your Darren Pang impression. Hi, everybody. Welcome back inside.
We have a full slate of NHL preseason action tonight. The likes of LA and Arizona playing a home-and-home split squad games. Calgary and Edmonton, home-and-home. Philadelphia plays two on the road against New Jersey and the New York Islanders. The Ottawa Senators had a bizarre occurrence yesterday after Clark MacArthur was concussed. We'll get into that and just where, what happened and why it happened and should it have happened, how the Senators handled that. But first to the World Cup of Hockey. Team Canada gets by Russia 5-3, but the Russians do score three goals, which I think is surprising when you look at the track record of this Mike Babcock team from 14 to 16. And then Team Europe stuns Team Sweden in the semifinal in overtime as Sweden loses back-to-back overtime games. Canada getting to the final is no surprise, but this Team Europe ascension from where they were in the pre-tournament to now being in the championship is shocking.
Well, we're having Ralph Kruger on later on, and he mentioned the odds were 33-1 in Las Vegas, and I actually thought you could get longer odds. I really did. You know, as far as I'm not into the odds about winning a World Cup, but he's
checked different houses.
So. I guess so. But the one he checked said 33-1, and it's interesting. With all due respect and appreciation to Team Europe, we're a little puzzled what to do as far as how to. They're an entity. They're not a country. It's just kind of strange. So as far as Canada against Russia, Canada against USA, or the Young Guns, the Team North America against Canada. There was an element of bite and appeal for the fans. Now, on the other side, I think there's an appreciation.
Yeah, there's no villain here.
There's no villain. So I think there's an appreciation now for what Team Europe's accomplished, but I don't know if the average fan, which is important, has that same zeal to actually go down and see the game.
I think the key thing for me in this, Gord, is it was that 23 and under team that beat them 9-1, I think it was, in the second game of the pre-tournament.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah, but so it's the young kids teaching the European veterans a lesson, and then they basically changed, and they realized they had to change their style. They had to be a lot more structured in order to win, and then played their most complete game, I think, against the United States on the Saturday afternoon. But by then, should we be, by the time they beat the Americans, should we really be surprised that they're here? They
beat Team USA, they beat Finland, they beat Team Sweden.
They were closer, in my mind, the way they played, they were closer to Canada than anybody else that played Canada. I expect Canada to win two straight, to be honest, but I don't expect blowouts. I think there's enough skill and enough size and good goaltending on Europe that will make this competitive.
You know, Peter Chiarelli on this very show, I thought sounded how it played out, right? Because we talked to him about his team killed them the first two games, pre-tournament games, Team North America against Team Europe. And he was the one that cautioned, said, no, hold on. They did not have a complete practice together. Mm-hmm. And he said the second half of that second game already, they were making huge strides. Ralph Kruger was shortening the bench, which he kept doing. Then you started seeing some video. And during that second game, every time out, you'd see the guys huddling. And as a unit, starting to figure things out. Yeah. So from the young guns to the oldest team in the league, the oldest team in the end worked hard to figure things out, went at it smartly, and had their act together by the time the real deal started. And
Ryan Getzlaf did not skate today for Canada practice maintenance day.
Yeah, but when you talked about Kruger and his ability to coach, I mean, Roman Josi played Nashville minutes last night, 29 minutes yesterday afternoon, rather, to be part of the team. Kopitar, over 22 minutes. That he has put the right people on the ice at the right time. And, you know, it's just one of the other thing is I wonder with his approach to the game and how he's dealt with his players. The one thing I would suggest is they haven't been overcoached. Can there be some?
What makes you say that?
Well, because I don't think they've run tremendous amount of heavy drills. I don't think that we're talking about a style or a system. That
most
is,
off days.
And the most off days. He talked about the 5 days that they've had off since they started.
But they play a very passive forechecking system. Trap.
But it's simple. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a lot of blackboard time and a lot of video time with this guy. Maybe Ralph will correct me on that. I wonder that if there's something to be said for his style of coaching and how he treats them, and maybe other NHL coaches and maybe coaches that were at the World Cup take note about how you can overcoach a professional hockey player.
Another revelation for guys, what I hear from Team Europe, who've never experienced it, they really enjoy Paul Maurice. The guys that have not played for him before have really enjoyed his personality and his coaching style. So it seems like, you know, nowadays you got six guys behind the bench on every team right now, and it just seems like it's been a real good fit as far as Paul is his right-hand guy.
I think this is going to test that theory of being a professional for Team Canada, in the sense that you don't have a rival in this championship series. And you hear all the time, it doesn't matter what they do, we worry about us. We have to look after ourselves. And
but that has been been Babcock's.
But there's some
proclamation
there's
all along.
A lot of players who need that fuel of a rival.
All it will take is one hit in the corner. You know, I mean, this is a big team. All it will take is Chara doing what he does. I think that, you know, by the end of the first period, when there's a realization that, hey, these guys are that good, I suspect Team Canada will not worry about who the guys in the other jerseys are.
There's another angle because about the bite, and Darren Pang was talking about the first weekend, and he just said he was between the benches for most of the games, and he just said it was the North American team that was chirping.
Yeah,
it was. So I mean, they were the ones you're sort of saying, "Wow, wait till if they play Team Canada, bring it on." They got that. Well, you're right. Team Europe has just been like the Lady Bing team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, I always mean things with a compliment, but they've gone about it that way very efficiently. But if Big Zdeno Chara or somebody or whatever it may be, you know, you get it going that way. Then, and if you get down by a game or if you get down in the game, then all of a sudden, I mean, this would be a terrible way for Team Canada to end it. Terrible way for Mike Babcock's run and all their success they've had in gold medals to lose.
So you're giving Europe a chance?
No, I'm picking Canada in two. Okay. But I also said Europe wouldn't be, like, there's no way they'd make the four. So, you know, I'm eating those words.
Okay, before we talk about Europe, can we just finalize the obituary on Sweden? Because
I'll get you there.
Okay.
I trust you. I trust you, Darren.
Because USA was pretty quick and vicious.
How? Give me some historical reference. How big of an upset, surprise, shock is it that this Team Europe is in the World Cup Championship Final?
Oh, when you look at the names on this team, it shouldn't be a surprise. As individual, when you look at but you're right. As a team,
Anne of Green Gables,
but it's a reflection. I mean, look at these
Anne
names.
Anne of Green Gables.
You know, I mean, Anze Kopitar, Marian Gabrick, Thomas Tatar, Thomas Vanek, Leon. I mean, these guys are names in the National
when
Hockey
When that team
League.
Was announced,
we all I know we, but these guys are all names.
People
They're
called
names.
It a gathering of leftovers,
they more meant the countries. I don't think they ever denigrated the actual players.
I mean,
it was more about, are you better to have like Team Slovakia than eight countries? I think that was more about it. It was the leftover countries. Yeah. Never like, I think there was
Hossa,
always
Zuccarello, Josi, Franz Nielsen. All these guys have had really good and great NHL careers.
But I'll give you a game. Tell me if you agree or not. Do I have it right? 2002 Belarus over Sweden?
No, but that was a fluke.
No, but I mean, Sweden had beaten Canada in the round robin, and Canada went on, won the gold medal, and you're thinking, holy crap, if they meet Sweden again, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, so it's not like miracle on ice. It's not like that kind of thing. I mean, but
that was, listen.
But it's closer to that than we expected them to be here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, that to me, do you have another comparable? I'm just trying to think of a comparable.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Switzerland, Canada? 2006,
probably.
Yeah, there's another one.
I think that's probably closer. I think because I mean, you can take the Belarus game in 2002 down to one play, you know, Tommy Salo, with the glove.
Well, when we get to Sweden again, could be the same thing when we talk about the game on Sunday.
Right, except, on the Belarus international hockey, you get hit in the head, they blow the whistle.
Yeah,
yeah. Should that not have been blown down, 2002?
Didn't he glove it first? He gloved it first. He gloved it first.
He hit himself in the head with his glove.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just curious about this team here.
Well, we're going to do video review on a goal from 2002?
14 years later.
You would. Any goalie, your goalie would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He's watching Cold Case Files.
So is it a bigger disappointment than it is a surprise with Team Sweden being out and Team Europe being in? I'll rephrase it. Are you more shocked that Sweden's out than Team Europe has made the championship final?
I don't know, shocked. So I'm more surprised Team Europe's in the final, okay? Because I thought there could be United States, Team North America, Russia, candidates to be in the final along with Sweden. So I'm still more surprised by that. But, you know, Sweden kind of gets a pass that I expected they were going to turn it on the third period like Canada did against Russia. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Now, that goal 12 seconds in, you know, who knows, because Europe's playing with house money, loosey-goosey, and after that, they just, that passive forecheck, they played it great. And so I don't know if that's what changed it or not, but Sweden, I found hugely disappointing. Thought the overpass were a little too unselfish, so I thought they were going to get it all together in the third period, and they didn't.
And this isn't just the loss to Europe. It followed up a loss to Team North America.
And we are talking a third period. They had 17 shots. And you did get a little bit of a sense of urgency, particularly from guys like Erik Karlsson, who I think would probably be frustrated with the way this team played. At the same time, I mean, just the fact that they did sit back so much and all the talent and how many times that pass first mentality just bit them. I mean, I think the frustration for me with them is that we all know the great individual talent they have on that team and how many times the NHLers that play on that club get you out of your seat at an NHL game, and yet when they play together, they play and they back into a system that...
Okay, was that a team that was overcoached?
You know what? It's funny. I had a lot more respect for Rickard Gromberg after the game in his press conference, because he was mad and he did challenge people when they said they played passive.
He didn't like those questions.
No, which is okay. I mean, we finally saw some some anger from the Swedes, albeit too late.
It's funny you like that. Yet Tortorella does that. People jump all over him.
Yes. And sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes for John, it's not fair. You're absolutely right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like different personalities.
But we don't know if Rickard Gronberg has a history of going to the other team's dressing room. We don't. I mean,
call it a history when it's a one-off.
Half of John's issue is his career behind the bench and the things he's done. Mm-hmm. You know, I happen to be a Tortorella fan. I think whether he's overstructured and overcoaches, I think he's very misunderstood.
Well, no, I'm with you on that as well. And just like you say, the fallout was incredible and quick on Team USA and him in particular. Yeah. I hope he's happy the way Sergei Bobrovsky played in goal. You got to hope he does that for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You got to hope he stays healthy.
Part as well. But you know, the Sweden, it's funny, they show those World Cup highlights at Air Canada Center, different memories. And at one point, I forget what game it was, but it was Matt Sundin and Peter Forsberg coming back with phenomenal, skilled goals in a previous Canada Cup or World Cup game. And you're thinking, okay, that's what I'm looking for from somebody down here.
Yes.
And you never saw it. So I don't know, 17 shots on goal. I don't know how many chances there were, but I didn't
37 see in the game,
that element that they had over Team Europe. Yeah. I didn't even see it.
With the most dynamic defense in the tournament. I saw more of it early on.
Yeah.
And then they... Yeah, you're right. They settled into almost like a lull.
Chess game.
Very much so.
Chess game.
Very much so. And Gord's absolutely right when you talk about using your team speed. I mean, use it all the time. Never stop. And I think that's the frustration I think most Swedish hockey fans have. I actually, after the game, I ran into Håkan Lube, who's doing television for Sweden, and that was the first thing he said, is that they have all this talent, they have all this speed, and they never used it properly. They were back to the old classic Swedish ice hockey style.
The game against Finland that was on rivalry day was another great example of just not – The pre-tournament games against Finland had more passion and bite
at home than at home too. Than Sweden, remember,
Than Sweden showed against Team Finland. So you have three prominent nations in this tournament: in the United States, 0-3; the Czechs only win a game. I'll make it four. Finland fails to advance, and then Sweden coming up short. Which team has the least amount to worry about? Which nation? If you're in this era of having summits and breaking down your national team programs.
For me, Finland. Because we've seen what their young players, their under 20 players did at the World Juniors. You see...
Can you not say that with Team USA as well?
I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people mad at me when I say this, so I'll say it anyway. The sense that I get with USA hockey is a comparable sense I get with the Russians. Is unbelievable talent, marquee names, and the inability to play as a team when they need it. There's no question there's talent, but how do they galvanize and play as a unit? How do they do that?
With Russia, the popular opinion right now is they're coached wrong. They're not coached in the National Hockey League style, and that if you put Mike Keenan or Paul Maurice or Ralph Kruger behind that bench, then they would have more success.
Well, it's certainly in NHL best-on-best tournaments, they would have more success. I mean, would we be surprised with that talent that the Russians win the World Hockey Championships? The way, played on the big ice surface, played in Europe? I probably wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. But I mean, Gord, the talent pools that we see in the countries with over 300 million people but their inability to basically swallow their individual egos and pride to play as one. And that was, to me, that was a problem for the Americans here, and that was a problem at times for the Russians here.
Yeah, I saw, they had the lead against Canada for a little bit, and I thought the first shift of the game, I think Alexander Ovechkin had three hits the first shift of the game. I think he was trying to set a tempo that way. Coaching's always a funny animal in a small tournament. I know Don Cherry was vocal. Who would ever think Don Cherry would be talking about Russian coaching, and that. But he shared that sentiment as an ex-coach. It's always hard to tell. The coach is to get, hey, Ralph Kruger, 5 days off all that, whatever it takes to read your team and get the most out of them, particularly in a short tournament. John Tortorella had a plan that didn't happen to work out, but he actually had a plan. So I always find we quickly go there, and it's hard to know what went on inside. I think Czech Republic, though, see, for me, not looking the spin off of the grassroots programs and that, they had their injuries and the players that didn't come. I expected them not to have a very good tournament. So they're the one of the four that I would think is the least disappointing.
Darren Millard along with John Shannon and Gord Stellick here at Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the NHL Network, and Sportsnet Radio, Sportsnet Now app, talking about the World Cup of Hockey. The architect behind the bench, Ralph Kruger, will join us, Team Europe, into the championship final against Team Canada. Maybe perhaps the most startling fact upon reflection on this tournament and the way this show has evolved in talking about this tournament is how little time we have spent discussing Team Canada.
It's boring. It's boring.
For this team to have this much success, you'd think it would dominate. But you're right. They're a victim of their own success.
Yeah. So I will say a few things, though, when you start looking. First of all, Carey Price, that's a great story. He hasn't had to win them a game, really, but it's a great story. It appears healthy, played well.
Maybe Sidney Crosby's best tournament ever.
That's right. He had a golden goal once, now just playing phenomenally. You look at Corey Perry, that skilled play he made. You had to see it on replay to really look him stick-handling the puck through his legs and whatever. You look at John Tavares and you go, wow. Mm-hmm. You look at Steven Stamkos and you go, not so wow. Yeah, and I think he's trying hard because it's in Toronto and that. But
Brad Marchand.
Yeah, oh yeah, Brad Marchand. That line, like they get three, you know, they're up 3-0 after one period in one game, and all three of them, you know, Marchand, Bergeron, and Sidney Crosby have been the goal scorers. The quiet, underrated defense. Yeah, and if that's why I worried the one game, the 2 out of 3 less worried.
This 2 out of 3, strangely favors Canada.
I think totally. I think it's the one game you worry about.
Would Europe not love a one-off?
Yeah.
One and done?
Sure. Absolutely. That's what you get in the Olympics, right? But that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, we haven't spent a lot of time on Canada.
No. Well, except that they're, you know, it's almost here are the other 7 teams, and then the thematic is that they're always there.
The guy that got put in the lineup for one game is a star that game, Claude Giroux, and then he's back to being a healthy scratch. That's the kind of depth.
By the way, it is Giroux playing in Getzlaff's spot today at practice. So, and it's funny, if I'm Bob Murray, who happens to be here as part of the Hockey Canada executive group, knowing that Getzlaff's already getting maintenance days in September, how much of a concern is that for the Anaheim Ducks? I don't know. I mean, Getzlaff's
been less than the other Murray, who's out 3 to 6 weeks. Matt Murray.
Yeah, good point. Or if you're the Dallas Stars, I mean, Jamie Benn wasn't hurt here, but Jamie Benn, surgery for him. Tyler Seguin, Alex Hemsky now is out seven today.
Right. Faxa is practicing, though.
Yeah, he's back skating now, so he's okay. He, in fact, was in Kitchener on Friday night to drop the puck for the opening game of the OHL season for them.
Hmm. Why do you know that?
What?
Why do you know that?
I didn't. You know what? I just did. And I realized what a lame response. But I thought, what else am I supposed to say? I was thinking, how do you know that?
But there's a Dallas Stars fan and a Kitchener Rangers fan going, saying, "Wow, isn't that cool?" That's two people that were listening that said, "Wow."
Oh, we have to fly, but we will get into the bizarre connection of actions yesterday in the Ottawa Senators training camp that led to a player just being, like, sent to the dressing room because people were taking runs at him. And it started with Clark MacArthur's
concussion.
And
we better say we're not ignoring Brad Marchand's new contract.
No, 8 years, but we'll get to that. And Ralph Kruger, I believe he answers to both, but Ralph Kruger, Team Europe head coach. How much of a fluke is this, Kruger? When we continue, Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, you're a bad influence. And the NHL Network.
You finally paid back Columbia House. So now you can start a new subscription. Subscribe to the Andrew Walker Show podcast. Available in iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Continuing on Hockey Central at noon, Darren Millard, along with John Shannon and Gord Stellick. We are going to get to Brad Marchand and his 8-year contract extension and what motivated that. Something happened last night. We'll tell you about that. Plus, follow up on what happened with the Ottawa Senator training camp. But first, here's the Team Europe head coach, Ralph Kruger.
The chairman of the board. Come on now.
And from Winnipeg.
Good afternoon.
From Winnipeg. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Yeah, enjoying the process here.
Okay, so I know that this is a surprise to some people, but is it any surprise to you that Team Europe is into the championship final?
Well, we surprise would be the wrong word because we've just had such a small picture in our process since coming together on September 1, and I think that what we believed in is that we could upset people in the process and that we had a shot at this now that we're actually standing here. Where there's only two teams left in the tournament is, it's a magical opportunity and it's a wonderful experience for everybody. But surprise is not a feeling that we
have. Did you expect to be here, Ralph?
We planned to be here.
Okay.
I have my return flight to Southampton booked on October 3rd. So, it's definitely, it's been in our language all the time. Yes, that's for sure.
Good for you.
Ralph, with your extensive background in professional hockey in Europe and in North America, but the last 3 years have been around what we describe as soccer players. You call them now football players. You've been changed. Has there anything come out of your football world that has said I have to treat players differently?
Well, you know, you never know exactly where you end up making adjustments as a leader, because it's a never-ending growth process that I'm in. And for sure, my experiences of being a chairman and now returning to the bench have changed my philosophy on the processes with the players. And it's a very, very experienced and very humble group that we have here together. So it's been easy, but I couldn't exactly give you the details or why or how I'm doing things. I'm a very instinctual leader, and I try to give the team what it needs in the situation it's in. And those have continually changed over the last month. But my opportunity to step away from the bench and now come back to it has certainly strengthened this intense process where everything is magnified and going at warp speed. So it's been helpful for sure.
So, how much video and Blackboard stuff have you done with this club?
So we're all about quality, and I'm definitely careful on the quantity, because I understand the mental pressure and the mental stress of a tournament process like this. And we're taking our sixth day off today since September 1. So we've been very careful in managing the energy. Our team is average age is over 30. And where it comes to video or it comes to X and O's, we've had a very simple concept. We've stuck with it. And the players have bought into it. They've been, participating in the communication. But I think if you ask the players, they certainly haven't been overcoached here.
Ralph, now just to be clear, your return flight's October 3rd, and that wasn't one of five reservations you made?
No. You can go into the reservation system.
Okay. That's not so easy to do anymore. But anyway, we'll take your word at it that way. It's Peter. I keep meaning Peter Chiarelli was on this show, and after they beat you in the two pre-tournament games, and he was the one guy, and he wasn't just being diplomatic. He was saying, no, the second game, they started doing some things. They didn't have a full practice. He was giving all the things that obviously shed some light about the difficulties you had those first two games where it didn't go so well. When did you, what happened? Is there a moment that turned it right? Was it a practice? Was it a guy? I love the way the guys were chatting with each other during the game, trying to work things out themselves. When did you get a good feel after that weekend that didn't go so well?
Well, the adversity of that process was outstanding. I mean, you always wish for that before a tournament starts, but you cannot fabricate it, And to be down 9-1 after two periods in those exhibition games, it was a shock for us all. And I think that's when you see the character of your team, is when you how you react to that, whether you grow or fall apart. And I think that's where we could sense the maturity of the group and the understanding that all that mattered were the scores in the tournament. And it's one thing to talk about things, and it's another thing to do them. But what was amazing was we clarified our system. We clarified what needed to be done with and without the puck in the next two games. We kept it really simple and on message, and the players completely bought in, and we had the success against Sweden just prior to the tournament, which gave us a lot of confidence going into the U.S. game. So, you couldn't have scripted it better from a coaching standpoint, that's for sure.
It is Hockey Central at noon. We're chatting with Team Europe head coach Ralph Kruger into the championship final, best of three against Team Canada, Darren Millard, along with John Shannon and Gord Stellick. Curious, when was the last competitive game or game that you coached prior to showing up with Team Europe?
Well, that would have been the last game with Edmonton in the lockout season. Mm-hmm. So 2013 in April would be the last time I was actually behind a bench, joined Canada for the Sochi experience and was close to the coaches, but far from the bench. So it was, it's been a while. It took a little bit of a warm up, and Paul Maurice and Bradshaw have been absolutely outstanding, world-class in supporting me and bringing me back into the process. But I felt like home pretty quick, I have to tell you.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about the Sochi experience. You were their European pre-scout in many ways. You were their stealth guy telling them about what the European teams were all about. Now you have to give us a scouting report on Canada. can you keep it down to about 7 pages of notes and tell us what you have to do tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's holes that we're going to try and find, force, create. But, I quite clearly can't speak about them. It's going to take magic for us. It's going to take an absolute A game to punch holes in this strong, strong Canadian team. And I know that, you know, I know the team, I know the roster, I know their systems and tactics inside and out. And we will look for that opportunity. We're here to make this final exciting. We're here to make it a tough go for Canada. And we believe in our chance. So it's, but the tactical process is definitely locked in our room, and you know, the people watching tomorrow will hopefully see some nuances that give us a chance.
Now, okay, I know first things first, you've got Team Europe. I know you're busy on the football sense, October 3rd to head back there, particularly with this kind of success. What about returning to the NHL as a coach in some way, shape, or form, a Mike Babcock-type contract down the road or something? I mean, what would it take, do you think, down the road? Is there a niggling thing that there's one more kick at it for Ralph Kruger somewhere?
That's definitely not in the plans at the moment. I love my leadership challenge in Southampton. I'm grateful for the club for giving me this space to come back in the hockey world, but I'm all consumed with what we're doing there, and still have building to do. I'm a builder kind of leader and like to finish what I'm doing, but I would never say never to that opportunity somewhere in the future. But in the near future, I'm all in Southampton, and we're going to continue to work on being Canada's favorite team in the Premier League.
I don't know you're doing a good job there.
They beat West Ham yesterday, right?
3-0. Yeah, that was good. It actually ended 15 minutes before our game, so I could watch the whole game before the Sweden game. So I had a back-to-back yesterday, which was kind of cool.
So that you were watching the football game before?
Yeah, the whole thing.
So in other words, don't go in the coach's office. He's busy right now.
if
anybody that's been in coaches' rooms knows that the last 2 hours before a game are painfully long, so they went quick yesterday.
The Ralph Kruger's with us, head coach of Team Europe. If the odds that you so eloquently pointed out were 33-1 before the tournament started, what should they be going into the championship final against Canada?
That's a good question. We actually got them raised to 50-1 by being so bad against North America, just so you know. But
you're working the line? Are you playing with the line there?
No, definitely not. I just heard I heard about that from somebody. But it's I'm not a better in that respect. We're getting this picture really, really small, and of course we're going into the games believing we have an opportunity here, and of course we're going to fight for our chance. And you know, I'm going to bet on is that this group is going to give its all, that this group is going to learn and grow even more than they have. That's one of our mottos, is to keep getting better. And we're expecting to do that against Canada tomorrow. And I'm expecting a tight one goal game. And let's find ourselves on the top end of that. But the odds makers and what the bookies would think, I can't tell you. I just have a lot of confidence in this team right now and its potential.
You can tell that you work for a club that there's a bookmaker outside the stadium as opposed to playing. Yeah. We're coaching in the National Hockey
what do you
League.
Mean
though?
Outside, inside.
Oh, okay. So, you're very good at not talking and bringing out individual discussions about players. Yesterday, they tried to ask you about Kopitar. They tried to ask you about Chara. You made sure that it was all about team first. But you have to be thrilled that Jaro Halak has done what he's done in goal for you and provided that consistency between the pipes.
Well, we knew we wouldn't have a chance without a world-class performance, and Jaro's been the best goaltender here in the tournament, and I think that's certainly something that gives us a shot every single day. And he worked so hard this summer off that injury, 6 months without a game, and came in day one with an unbelievable hunger and focus, and that energy is really he's been a leader, and everybody's wanted to play hard for him. And you know what Jaroslav Halak's doing here is proving to the world what he's capable of. And you know, I am so happy for him because he really worked for it this summer.
The art of you're a guy that's, you notice the disproportionate minutes, that you really assess the game. Leon Draisaitl hardly got any minutes in one game and then comes back, gets a hat trick in another game, for example. I know they were pre-tournament games. But how do you, is it a collective thing? How do you figure out early on who's going, who's not, and adjust accordingly?
That's always been something that I've instinctually loved to do, is to feel the moment and to understand who's on and off. And the players saw from day one that would be rewarded and or ice time would be reduced. And you take the Marian Gaborik example, where he began actually on our fourth line and fighting for a spot to moving himself right into a top two unit on our first power play. It didn't matter the age or the past. It was what you're doing now, and we'll continue to do that tomorrow. We're going to go with the guys that are going. If we have to reduce, we will. And if against, you know, if we can hold the line like we did against Sweden, where everybody shows up and does their job, that, you know, that would be much better for us. But it's instinctual, and you need to really, really be aware. Again, having the support of Brad and Brad Shaw and Paul Maurice has been really helpful in assessing that performance minute to minute.
Does that mean Kopitar versus Crosby?
You know what? We don't have the matchup, and it looked like Babs loved his matchups from last game, and he had Taves up against Kopitar, so we'll see which way he goes. It's his control tomorrow, and we get the control back in game two. So I have a feeling he's going to stick with his matchups from the last game.
If it's Babs today, what do you call him tomorrow?
All I know is we compete on our water ski courses at different places in the world and compare notes all the time. And as long as I stay ahead of him there, I'll be happy.
Before we let you go, we know that you will compete as hard as you can, and you will motivate your players as much as you can. But is this a success already?
It is certainly a success. I mean, when you come into a tournament where nobody really could assess the potential of the group, and when you leave the big four nations in Europe and the Americans behind you, and also the kids who spanked you so hard, it's certainly a huge accomplishment for this team. But again, I want to underline the fact that there's no satisfaction right now. Nobody's let go. It's been something that I've really found excellent about this group, from the U.S. win right through. It's back to work. It's back to what can we do to improve? How can we take on our next challenge? And that's where the experience of the team and the 8 Stanley Cup rings help us to keep properly within the tournament. And I think it's when it's all over, we'll have time to assess and enjoy. But at the moment, it's still hard work and battle and compete and all of those things that we want to keep in the forefront.
We really appreciate your time. Congratulations. It's been a unique journey for you from Manitoba all around the world and now Team Europe. And we've enjoyed this conversation. Best of luck. Thank you,
thanks,
Ralph.
Thanks for the time, guys. And enjoy the final series.
We will.
Okay.
Ralph Krueger Team Europe.
How do you hate these guys now? You can't hate after that. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I you know, you want championship series where there's, you know, good guy versus bad
black
guy,
hat,
black hat, white hat.
Yeah.
How do you hate this guy? You can't.
Yeah.
So are the Canadians the villain?
So we turn on Canada now.
Listen, you had me not dressing Pavel Datsyuk on Friday. He didn't dress. Okay, so, you know. No, but you heard what, who's the old goalie from Anaheim and he called
him? Guy Hebert?
No, he called them orcs. He called Canada, playing against Canada is like playing against the orcs in Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who was it?
Oh, Brzgalov. Ilya Brzgalov.
Oh, God, okay.
He said it's like playing Canada is like playing against the orcs from Lord of the Rings. So,
do you have any idea what that means, Gord?
No, I'm just smiling.
You could have just gone home.
They were in Kitchener, the orcs were, dropping the opening face-off on Friday.
Jacob Trouba wants out.
Hey,
some NHL news that we'll hit on quickly here. Jacob Trouba has asked for trade. Actually asked for it last season.
I will address that, but I find it interesting. You start previewing teams, how many RFAs there actually are. Mm-hmm. It's incredible the number there are. And he may be like, I think Johnny Gaudreau is going to set the bar in some ways when he signs in Calgary. Trouba, it's now, how genuine is it or isn't it about the fact that there's too many right-handed shot defensemen on Winnipeg, and that's the gist
that's
of
the
where
first trade request citing such
I know
a specific.
But the agent was candid, said this was addressed in May. And the request is there's no problem with Winnipeg. Didn't say there's no problem with money, because it always does come down to money to some degree. But this is whether they're giving the Jets an out and say maybe you can swap for a left-handed D like Hampus Lindholm or whatever if they want to go that route. That was an interesting note to come from his agent.
Matt Brown, you had the interesting take on players requesting trades.
Oh, last year.
Yes.
How many players that requested trades got traded last year?
None.
Kirby Reichel.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there's one, yeah.
But
and last year was the big trade year, the big classic one-for-one deal.
So it's going on that history, that recent history.
By the way, the Board of Governors on Friday murmuring around the table about the Goodrow situation. There are a lot of people who are there for the Flames saying they're, you know, the stories of 8.5 and 8 years. There's no way that Goodrow's getting it, and there's no way he's ever going to get it there.
Well, Brad Marchand signs 8 years, just over $6 million a year.
It's been a great September for Brad Marchand. Eh?
Who held out last year? Who did not play the start of the season last year? What RFA missed a game? I'm trying to remember.
Travis Hamonic asked for a trade.
I know.
I'm just saying Jonathan Duran.
Was Ryan Johansson 2 years ago, or was it last
at least
two years ago?
At least two years ago.
By the way, he's a Kurt Overhard client, too. So.
Yeah.
What Brad Marchand was asked yesterday about joining the Pittsburgh Penguins and then turns around today and signs this long-term deal. So I can't remember who asked the question, but Ken Campbell from the Hockey News.
Yeah, maybe Saturday, whatever. Same thing after the game. But he was having fun with it about playing with, you know, playing with Sidney in Pittsburgh. And then why do you think that precipitated the
he just said, let's get it done. Let's
cherry
put this
on
rumor,
the Sunday.
Let's,
get it?
Let's put this rumor to rest. Cherry on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Speaking
from experience, there. Let's go to
back the bus up, please.
Ottawa Senators are without Clark MacArthur and Mark Stone with concussions. Now, MacArthur at the rink today said it's gone as good as it could be expected. So that's very positive news. But he gets hit by Patrick Seeloff, who was acquired for Alex Chiasson.
Yeah,
and Bobby Ryan went out and dropped the gloves.
Did you think it was a vicious hit?
And then Chris Neal went after
him. Did you think it was a vicious hit?
It was a bad hit. I think it was a guy trying hard to make an impression.
Sure.
He's not a goon, trying to be physical, and I call it an unfortunate hit.
Yes, but I agree with you.
Unfortunate.
Totally,
but
you're right.
The fallout, Ryan fights him, Neal goes after him, and then they eventually tell Sila, just go.
But doesn't that speak volumes to me, at least, and you know, Clark, of what his teammates think of Clark MacArthur and his value to the hockey club? I mean, to me, that the one thing that when he played here in Toronto and when he went to Ottawa is that how he's a glue guy.
But I just thought we were past this kind of thing in a training camp.
You never past the emotion in that, and just and that's how they're reacting.
And Seeloff being new to the organization and just saying, hey, listen. Be a little smarter when you're dealing with a veteran player.
Instead of telling the other team, okay, you guys have made your point. Enough.
Well, it was Fan Fest Day, too. Like, all the fans are there watching. And also, you know what? The kid, I would think, was pretty shaken up, too. I think not a bad idea that he doesn't want to hurt Clark MacArthur or anybody else.
No.
The other guys are checked because they're going, buddy, this can't happen, okay? Because it can't happen to me. It shouldn't happen to Clark MacArthur. Shouldn't happen to anybody. So it was a natural reaction that way. Yeah, very unfortunate. But the hit... And I'm glad Clark MacArthur, because Pierre Dorion was really emotional yesterday. Because Clark MacArthur only played 4 games last year because of concussions and couldn't come back. And this is an important September to have a clear bill of health for him. And he's already got some questions.
And well documented the struggles that he went through and the
just
the viciousness of the effects of that post concussion symptom. Matt Murray is out 3 to 6 weeks with a broken hand suffered in the World Cup of Hockey. It is once again Marc-Andre Fleury's goal.
I was going to say, at least they have a backup. I mean, and Jim Rutherford's decision now not to trade Marc-Andre Fleury does look pretty good, considering all the pressure he was under around draft day and around free agency. So, he could be close to being ready within the first 10 days of the regular season. So, and I'll tell you what, he's a heck of a goaltender.
And there's a big difference.
Yeah. Difference between Matt Murray and John Gibson.
Do you remember him getting hurt?
Oh, yeah.
You do. He played, though. He kept playing.
Yes,
he kept playing.
And that, to me, is why did he keep playing? But, you don't want to let your guys down.
It was part of that stretch that cost them the spot.
Well, the four Russian goals in 6 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was.
Thanks to Ralph Krueger for stopping by. We have a lot of fun interviews on this show, but that was enjoyable.
I want to see the water skiing competition with Babcock.
The split screen.
Yeah.
Ralph Krueger Mike Babcock.
How do you compete water skiing? What do you do? Like a course
around
or something?
The boys.
Do that on Water Skiing slow. Central next week.
Okay.
How do you compete in water skiing?
It's a good question.
I'll tell you right after. How do you drop a ski instead of the puck, like in Kitchener? Thanks for watching and listening.